Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hello, I'm Pete Donaldson from Absolute Radio, and I've somehow said yes to this. These gentlemen who are looking after me are incredibly professional and wonderful, but Christ, we're high. But it'll be okay. It'll be okay.
You ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Up to the edge for me?
Yeah.
Let's get them toes over. 3, 2, 1, bungee!
Hell,
never write them off, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365. My name is Marcus Speller. Luke Moore is here. And Jimmy Campbell.
Guten Tag.
You can never write off the Germans. Yep, you can't never. Do it.
No, I've
you
forgotten
that.
You
cannot do it. If you did, you're a fool.
I've forgotten to because they haven't given us an opportunity to write them off for a while.
Yeah.
So I forgot that you weren't supposed to do that. And I started to do it in my head.
Can I just say, yeah, I'm the same. In my living room yesterday evening, I spent about an hour and a half writing off the Germans, and it's come back to bite me as well.
You fool.
So if you're listening at home or on the commute or wherever you are, as a Sunday, so you won't be commuting, but maybe some of you will be.
Yes.
We share your pain, unless you're German and listening, in which case we say
congratulations.
I couldn't even get it out. It's stuck in my craw so much. I was going to say, if you're German and listening, congratulations and fuck off.
Stop this.
Yeah.
Yeah, the last time they didn't reach at least the semi-final of the World Cup, 1998.
Amazing.
It feels like they've had their one now, doesn't it? It feels like
they're going to be away now, Jim.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like they've had these couple of games to see what the problems are in the squad that just need a little bit of ironing out. They'll probably, you know, blitz South Korea in the last game, and then just business as usual, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. And by the way, just in case anybody's unclear, this is not some sort of little England-German. This is the team that always wins. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? That's why, you
everyone,
know...
Everyone wants to see one of the big dogs go out, right?
Yeah, Jogi Love has reached at least a semi-final in every tournament he's managed Germany in.
Yeah. Amazing.
So, I mean, that's the context to this.
Yeah, exactly. Well, as I say, 98, the last time that they didn't reach at least a semi-final. A little bit of World Cup trivia, though, before we get stuck into the game. We are currently witnessing the longest ever start to a World Cup without any goalless games.
It's been unbelievable.
The 1954 World Cup had no goalless draws, but there were only 16 teams in a total of 26 games played. Now, we've got more than that in this one. It's a wonderful tournament so far, and don't believe any dickheads that tell you otherwise.
I feel that with German thing, you know, I said on Twitter yesterday that, of course, Germany experienced a moment there that we experienced against Tunisia. And it's a funny thing because you can immediately relate to what those German fans were going through because it's something that unites us all. A last-minute winner for your team in an important game is a raw emotion and a raw feeling that actually unites us all the world over as football fans. And that's one of the great things about it. On the other hand, Germany have had too many of these already. And they should be dishing them out to other teams.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you know, when you look at the facts and so on, as we've just said, the thought of Germany at half time thinking, are they going out after two games? Because we talk about Peru and Morocco and all these other sides, and you think, you've got to go into the third game with something to play for. That shouldn't apply to Germany, and of course it doesn't anymore. No. But to see them on the ropes like that, go down to Tedman, we will talk about Boateng, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And then to dig it out, if there is any... If Germany can find any other ways to prove to everybody that you can't write them off, they know how to win and so on, then I just don't know. It's incredible.
That free kick... I mean, what's been sort of lost about that is almost what a good goal it is. Because you're just so shocked by it going in. Just the bend on it, the power on it, the height of it. It was just... Toni Kroos had to hit that exact spot from that angle. Any other time in the game... He's probably crossing from there. Mm. He's probably not going to shoot.
I think the studied execution of it was for me the most impressive thing, because obviously top level footballers, certainly attacking footballers, can pick a spot and they can do that type of stuff. But for Kroos to have the presence of mind after the first game, which they struggled, and he struggled personally as well, in my opinion, for him to say to his teammate, look, this is what I want you to do. I mean, you saw him do it. This is what I want you to do.
Responsibility.
Do that. Put it there, put it on that spot, and this is what, you know, this is what, and watch me, essentially, either watch me do the rest, or this is what I'm going to do. I can't speak German, so I couldn't lip read. But, and he was able to do that in the 95th minute of a game that really, to all intents and purposes, they had to win.
Well,
it's incredible.
I can lip read German, and what he actually was saying is, watch me whip, and watch me celebrate.
Yeah.
And he got it right.
And his celebration in front of the, everyone's celebration in front of the Sweden bench, they are actually saying, if you lip read, we respectfully enjoy this moment and we wish you all the best for the rest of the tournament.
We hope it's us and you that go into the next round, I think is what that older member of staff
I'd say so,
was saying. It's fair to say, I think, if the Swedish manager, Anderson...
Olof Anderson, a great name as well.
Indeed, yeah. Managed to get hold of that man, there wouldn't be much left of him.
And it's funny, isn't it? Because in 1990, I heard Chris Waddle, I think it was, speak after 1990. It was either him or David Platt, one of the two, when England lost that semi-final against West Germany. And I think they were selected for drug testing afterwards.
That's
and
right,
you have to wait around for ages because you're so dehydrated, you can't actually pass urine. And he said that the two Germans who were selected, even though they clearly were really excited to be in a World Cup final, they sat there like good as gold, quiet for the whole time.
I think it was Waddle.
And didn't celebrate till they left the doping room, or the doping control room. Doping room, something different. And yet, it makes me sad how far we fell, Germany, because that was not on display yesterday. But I don't blame them for it because it's part of the pantomime.
Yeah, that was, by the way, that was the last time England reached a World Cup semi final.
Yeah,
let alone with Germany, you work it out when they
were last in one.
Exactly. Yeah. That's how you do it. Yogi Love will be rather relieved.
Yeah,
won't he? He's looking very svelte, isn't he? He often has, but he's looking particularly
terrible garbs though.
I think he's looking a bit. It looks a bit hippie-ish. Which we've not really seen from him before. I think he's looked suaver, I have to say.
Yeah, I think it's a bit midlife crisis. Mm. And I would know.
Fine biceps, though, I'd say.
Yeah, but you're working with professional athletes every day. I mean, he's going to be...
Credit where credit's due.
I
actually think this applies to that. I don't think he does deserve any credit for wearing at the moment.
All right, well, he's a lucky little melt then.
Will Jimmy Dermaz regret giving away that free kick?
He's let down gyms everywhere there with that.
Is it nice to see a Jimmy in there? Is it nice?
No, not in this case.
No, it's not, is it?
Yeah, I mean, it was nice to have a Marcus in there who nearly scored and should have been given a penalty.
Absolutely. That was another astonishingly inept piece of refereeing.
Yeah.
It's terrible. I mean, one, the referee should have given it. It's easy. It's easy if you've got a basic understanding of the game that he's not going to go down. The thing I'd like to say to the referee on that decision particularly is, what do you think has happened there? Yeah. Because he's in on goal. He's not going to not shoot. He's not going to not put his boot through the ball.
He did sort of get a shot.
But he couldn't, because his whole upper body was like horizontal. Because Boateng, who, again, an interesting interpretation of how to defend in the World Cup, which I'm sure we'll come on to, it made it impossible for him.
Yeah, let's talk about Boateng now. What on earth was he doing?
All around like a maniac the whole game.
This is a World Cup winner who, you know, not that long ago was considered by many one of the finest centre-backs on the planet.
Yeah.
And yet marauding forward, but in a fashion that was not befitting to a top class centre half. You know, it was irresponsible. He gets sent off with the second booking was a rash challenge when his team is desperately needing a result. I mean, they seemed to be better when he was not on the pitch.
But they were better.
It was sort of. This is a player that doesn't normally do this. I wonder what on earth he's playing at there.
I wouldn't...
Unless he's been doing this for Bayern, I've not been really...
Has he been sort of asked to play in this strange kind of Beckenbauer-style role where he's just bombing around all the time as some sort of nod to their history and it just isn't working? Because it was a very strange performance.
I don't remember Beckenbauer getting caught out of position.
I'm not saying he's playing it well.
In his entire career, as much as Boateng did in that game. I don't think Boateng has played as much for Bayern Munich over the last couple of seasons. Mm-hmm. I'm not entirely sure what the reason for that is, whether it's form or injury or unavailability or whatever.
But this style of performance, he's not the type of defender, as far as I was aware, that you would think... Oh, he could have a little rush.
Oh, Marcus, based on that game, he's finished. At the top level, he's finished. Mm. Based on that game. We're not talking about Sweden being a brilliant team going forward, by the way.
Yeah.
We're talking about whether he was asked to perform a role by Yogi Love, as an extension of what Jim's just said there, where Love has said, look, we don't rate them going forward. We're not worried about them going forward. So I want you to go in and join the attacks, give us an extra man. Maybe he particularly rates him as a passer or a decision maker. I mean, he shouldn't do based on that, but maybe he does. But, I mean, it was an astonishingly poor performance. I mean, everything he did, it seemed, was bad. It was really bad. I mean, decision making, positioning, passing, lack of tackling.
Getting sent offing.
There would be a situation where Germany would be set up in that almost like basketball type attack sort of formation where they'd have players dotted around the penalty area and they're knocking the ball back and forward, trying to drag Sweden around and create gaps, which you see top teams do. And then from nowhere, off the left side of the camera, Burton would just come marauding in. And you'd be like, what are you doing?
He's trying to entertain us, and in a way he did.
Oh, get me involved.
We should really thank him.
Yeah, we should, because but the thing is that they've had a touch there. I was saying to the guys to you guys earlier that if an England defender had performed like that, we'd have lost about 4-0.
Yep.
He would have been a national pariah and never play again. What's actually happened is they've still won the game. He's suspended for the next game now, which means they'll be better without him, and he'll probably come back and be good again in the quarterfinal.
Well, yeah. Hummels was injured for this game, so they might have a little bit of a problem at the back. Although. Hang on, it's Germany. They'll be
absolutely fine. Yeah. Now, this is obviously completely hypothetical and not a real accusation, but it was...
Here we go.
It was like watching someone trying to throw a game, almost, wasn't it? Because it was so chaotic. Yeah. It was so like...
It's like
you're playing FIFA and you're a bit bored.
Pete's on tactics.
Yeah, it's you and Pete on FIFA and Pete's going, you know what, I'm going to try and ruin this just because it'll be funny for me.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Pete can't do anything for more than an hour without getting really bored and doing...
Is he up to an hour these days?
Well, sometimes.
Blimey.
Yeah, it was like Pete was in charge of tactics. Pete was controlling Jerome Boateng.
Yeah. I'll tell you something, though. Turn our attention to Sweden. If they were just a little bit slicker up top, and I understand their shortcomings and they've done very well to get to the tournament and already have a win under their belts, and they're absolutely gutted, of course, and scored a lovely goal to go 1-0 up, although slightly deflected, but still. But if they were that little bit slicker and you know, there was a stat going around that when they were down, Germany were down to 10 men, Sweden kept the ball. They only had 17% possession.
Yeah, they really didn't.
I understand that Germany have suddenly turned the screw and they are coming forward. But Sweden...
But that gives you a lot
just a slightly better pass, slightly better decision, see out the game. I think they had the ball in the corner up the other end towards the end.
The guy shot, didn't he? Yeah,
keep it there. And Luke, there was a one in there. I mean, this is a different period of the game. Towards the end of the second half, I forget who it was, had the chance to shoot from maybe just inside the box, and he took a touch, I was screaming, bang it!
Do you
know something? There's been nothing annoys me more in football when someone has the chance to shoot, and they, I'll just take another touch, and another one, and it's gone, and you think, we'll never know if they could have scored that chance.
Lozano got away with it against Germany, didn't he?
He did. Let me tell you something. If you are the type of player who is not normally in the penalty area and doesn't normally shoot and is perhaps more of a defensive player or whatever... Therefore, you should definitely shoot if given the chance. People often think, we need to take a touch and say, no. It doesn't matter. Because if you're actually a lesser player, I think you should definitely shoot because the chance of you jinking it past the defender and all that kind of stuff.
Well, you know, on that subject, and we'll come on to Jimmy Dermaz in a minute because that was an incredible situation as well in the context. Alan Shearer did some really interesting stuff on the BBC yesterday evening where he said he was talking through how, as a striker, you approach one-on-one situations and, you know, different things you do all in the fraction of a second. You look for a keeper movement, all that kind of stuff. And he said at the end of that particular little monologue, which was what I found fascinating, he said, but if there's a situation where no one's blinking first, where nothing's happening... Just get your head down and smash it as hard as you can, as low as you can. And that is what people, I think, and that's why Shearer's got 5 million goals in his career. That's what people, I used to play with a guy, obviously, he's not a World Cup player, but just if you indulge me for a second, I used to play with a guy who wasn't, I won't name him because it's unfair, he wasn't a very good player, but he could kick the ball the hardest I've ever seen. And at amateur level, like Saturday, Sunday level, he would get 30 goals a season. Because every time he got the ball in the penalty area, he would smash it as hard as he could. And sometimes you wonder whether top-level players on that type of stuff just need to go back to basics a little bit.
What Jimmy Greaves used to say. What was the secret of your, you know, fabulous goal-scoring record? He went, I just get as close as I can and let rip.
But I really want to just quickly cover this Jimmy Dermaz situation.
Yeah, of course.
Because he puts in... When I saw that in real time... To me, it was a textbook example of it's late in the game, you've expended a lot of nervous energy leading up to the game, you're tired, and so you're going to have a bit of a lunge and you're going to think, do you know what, I'll bring him down here, we'll get back in position, we'll regroup and we'll be able to defend it with numbers. And then I thought the fact that Jimmy Dermaz only came on the pitch in the 73rd minute, I thought, really, you should really be shepherding them out here, especially as you've got a defender behind you.
I was going
to say,
the cover, I think it was Seb Larsson, actually. Did Larsson not go mental at him?
He was fuming, he was absolutely fuming.
But I wonder, it's easy with hindsight, but only two players in the wall. Yeah. Just maybe have that third, but then I suppose everyone thought he was going to cross it. You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
Look, that ball was going in, like whatever they'd done.
It was written in the stars. But Toni Kroos was, he stood up and got counted when he had to. And he's 33-1 with Bet365 to win the Golden Ball this year's tournament. Now £10 returns, £340 if it happens. I mean, the German fans will probably be wanting to get it already. I'm just going to put something out there to the table. And you guys can indulge or you can just chuck it back at me.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if the keeper should have saved that. I think with the way he moved the ball and the angle it was at, I think, and I don't know him, obviously, but I wonder whether the keeper, Olsen, is secretly a little bit annoyed. And the event itself has overshadowed the fact that he probably could have got something on that.
I think it's probably the pace of it and the bend of it has taken him by surprise. And also, I wonder how much, teams feel this narrative as well. We're all sat there at home thinking, oh, it's Germany, 1-1, needing a win with a free kick in the last seconds of the game. Surely they're going to score. Everyone was thinking that.
Yeah, they were.
Everyone
yeah.
was. And even I think possibly even the keeper
yeah, subconsciously,
yeah, exactly.
I've got this in. Yeah.
Well, Olsen had a pretty good evening, really, for Sweden.
Very good save from Gomez.
Saves. Yeah, absolutely.
Same height as you bet presenter Matthew Kelly as well.
That's what we found out that, yeah. Yeah, didn't we?
Weird. It's yeah. a weird thing to put in
nice
there.
Nice mensch for Kelly, though.
He's not even on the TV. He's been on the TV for like 15 years.
That is a strange
one. You can't think of any other tall person. Yeah. But at least she's on the telly now.
Yeah.
Think of something a little bit more sort of current than that.
Yeah, I quite like it, though.
Yeah.
I'm into
but
it.
I know what you mean. It was the keeper's side. You know, the wall is meant to cover one side, and he didn't go that side.
Do you know what? I just think top level, it's a great goal. I'm not taking anything away from Cruz. He's a fantastic player. He looked a little bit short in the first game. He stood up when it was counted in this game. He's a fantastic player. It was a fantastic goal. But I do think top-level keepers, when they see that from that angle, I think he takes a step that he perhaps wasn't that helpful, which made it harder for him. And it's easy. These are all in the blink of an eye, you know? And we're not top-level keepers, so we don't know what goes through their mind. But I think he might be a bit annoyed with himself.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he will. I'm sure they all collectively will.
Of course, yeah. But let me put it another way. First minute, he saves that.
Yeah, maybe.
I think.
Possibly. But yeah, great strike and so on. And I think that everyone was just thinking, sure, like just seeing Germany wobble so much and then dig it out the bag. And you would imagine, you know, they'll beat South Korea. Even though that goal
means they're still in it.
Kept South Korea alive.
We need Sonny. We need Sonny Heung-min to do the business for us.
Indeed, yeah. I mean, if Sweden... I've worked this out, and I think I'm right in saying this, so forgive me if I'm missing something glaring here. If Sweden beat Mexico 2-1, which is possible, unlikely, but it's possible, and Germany win 2-1, then all three teams, Sweden, Mexico and Germany, will be on the same points, same goals scored and same goals conceded. And obviously they've all beaten each other, so head to head wouldn't come into it.
Right.
Mm. Would it go to foul? Would that Boateng red card?
Imagine it.
Oh, that would be delicious.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. Right. Well, in the second half we'll mention South Korea and Mexico, of course, and the little matter of Belgium beating Tunisia 5-2. See you in a moment.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
He didn't mean it. He did.
Do you think he did?
Ronaldinho?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, all right. Just asking.
Welcome back to the World Cup Ramble, everybody.
Yeah.
South Korea, they lost to Mexico 2-1. Mm-hmm. As I said, with that scenario that could play out, that goal from Sun right at the death could prove vital, but it's unlikely. But they are still alive, just about. But Chicharito scored his 50th international goal.
I was pleased for him.
To win the match.
That was a beautiful moment.
It was, and he's put two really big shifts in so far already. It's exactly what you'd expect of him, and he's delivered, and he's got a goal as well. I think he deserved it.
When we think of this Mexico side, we think two words: counter and attacking.
Mm. I thought you were going to say, when you think of this Mexico side, you think of two words: beat England.
Well, their story is really interesting, isn't it? That this whole fifth game thing, that they've been out of the last 16 so many times, and they want that fifth game. That's the thing that they're...
Yeah, I found that really fascinating.
They've reached the last 16 six times. This would be the seventh time in a row at World Cups, but they've not gone further than that.
No.
It reminds you of Real Madrid before, was it Mourinho took over? They used to get to the last sort of 16 or whatever it was of the Champions League. I don't think Mexico are going to win the next three World Cups in a row, though.
No. But you do feel like, you know, if England hadn't won it in 1966, would you can see how we might have a similar narrative to that. You know, it wouldn't necessarily be about, like, we've got to go and win it again. It would be all right, we need to get further than we've done before.
You're right, and I know you didn't say it in the context of this, Jim, and it was very fair to mention 1966, but I don't like you mentioning it on an England game day.
No.
Sorry.
Yeah. Because it's the boys needed to channel that all themselves. You can't dilute it.
Take away from it.
And you're speaking about it, Mexico always getting through the group but never getting any further. It looks very likely that they're going to play Brazil in the next round.
Well, not necessarily.
Well, they'll probably win their group, won't they, Mexico?
Yeah. Well, Brazil could still win theirs because they're on the same points as Switzerland. Yeah.
True.
But
they play Serbia next, though.
They do.
So Mug's going trying to predict this stuff anyway. Yeah.
The politically influenced Serbia national football team.
Yeah.
Less said about that, the better, perhaps. But Mexico, with their sort of counter-attacking and so on. Lozano's having a good tournament, slotted Hernandez in quite nicely. The three of them breaking... Hernandez, Lozano and Vela.
They've all got a goal as well.
Yeah, they have indeed. But it just looks lovely on the counter, doesn't it? Quite well balanced. They look menacing. They look creative and so on and so forth.
Vela didn't dink his penalty, which is annoying.
I was a bit annoyed at that, I have to say.
I was thinking that because it took quite a while for the penalty. Well, every single set piece takes ages for some reason this World Cup. And the penalty took a long time. And I thought, I wonder if he's going to dink it. And I wonder whether he thought he might do. And then he just sort of thought, nah, it's taking too long here. I need to get it out of the way.
Nice to see Rafael Marquez come on. Although he nearly gifted a goal. I mean, Son said in the last game that he was a bit disappointed that he didn't try and take it by the scruff of the neck at all. He did have a couple of opportunities. A little bit unlucky in the first half, well blocked. That second chance, though, that Marquez sort of presented him, he didn't quite take it, you know. Got his goal right at the end. Yes, they are just about still alive. But again,
he looks... far and ahead their best player, doesn't he? I know that's because that's clearly the case, but it's a problem that there aren't as many up to his level in there.
Who, in Mexico?
No, Son.
Oh, sorry, Son. Sorry, because I was going to say, I think a special... I like a special mention in terms of Mexico for Herrera and Guardado in the middle. I think they tick things over very nicely. I think a bit underrated, really. But as for South Korea... I mean, you're right. They don't seem to have. They've sort of disappointed me a little bit. I don't really have any concrete reasons to why they should be better than they are. But for some reason, I just feel like they should be.
For some reason, I think they're like they used to be a bit like Chile under Sampaoli. You know, kind of swarm teams. And
it must be
well
the 2002 thing I've got in my mind.
Maybe just maybe. Think of that still. It's harmful to them too.
They're now 33-1 to get out of the group. So a tall order. They need a big win against Germany. £10 with Bet365 returns £340, including stake.
Yeah. Do you know there's been 14 penalties awarded at this World Cup? Six with VAR. 18 is the most that a World Cup has ever seen in 2002. It's going to smash it, Jim. You'd imagine.
Yeah,
you would imagine that doesn't include penalty shootouts, obviously. The mood in the Mexico camp does seem very good. They seem to be one of the sides that people suddenly get on board with, you know, perhaps a neutral's favourite or people's second or third teams. One reason why Mexico are having a lovely time is that the team can eat red meat again.
Yeah.
Well, thank God for that.
Indeed. Well, in Mexico, a lot of the red meat produced is contaminated with a substance called clenbuterol.
Clenbuterol,
which is used to promote muscle growth in livestock. But it is a banned substance. It's apparently performance-enhancing for athletes. And in 2011, five Mexico players tested positive for this.
Yeah, it's been in the news. It's been in the news more recently because Saul Alvarez, the middleweight boxer.
Yes.
Faced a ban for testing positive for it, and got a lot of criticism as well because obviously top level athletes tend to have nutritionists and doctors all around them, and it seems pretty fanciful that it would have got into his system other than maybe through nefarious means, has been the allegation. Mm-hmm. I personally think it's quite a convenient excuse because it builds muscle growth. So it's been a bit of a thorny issue in Mexican sport for quite a long time.
Well, they've not been eating red meat while they've been in Mexico.
And that's probably why they've had to do that.
Indeed, yeah. But now they're abroad, they can indulge. Yes, the team's nutritionist said, we brought a lot of food and we also brought a chef to make every dish as the player likes it. We are making corn tortillas that taste like glory.
I love that chat. That's great chat. That's the sort of chat you're getting from the nutritionist.
Yeah.
Imagine what the manager's like.
What does it taste like? Glory.
Glory.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing. Powering themselves to glory through tortillas. Sounds like something my dad would say.
Mexican is my favourite type of food.
Is that right? Yeah, will the England players eat their way to glory with fish and chips?
No, bangers and mash. Yorkshire pudding and
toad in the hole.
Yeah, no, everything comes in a big Yorkshire pudding.
Yeah. I don't mind that. Yeah.
Fabian Delph would be up for that. Yeah. He's one of the most Yorkshire men. Yeah. In that squad, you would say, because there is a few of them. Let's move on to England's Group G. Belgium beat Tunisia 5-2. Luke, Tunisia, not quite as good as we hoped they would be.
Yeah. No, as I said to you before, Belgium are a good side.
They are a good side, yeah. Martinez's men, have they put down a marker? I mean, they've scored 8 goals in 2 games, which is impressive, no matter what the opposition is. I understand that they're not the best and their backline hasn't been massively tested, but scoring 8 goals in 2 games...
Well, they should have had 8 just against Tunisia.
Well,
probably.
Yes. You would imagine, without sort of jinxing anything, because that stuff doesn't exist, that Belgium will likely need a point against England to top the group, because England would need to absolutely hammer Panama to get back in to the runnings with regards to goal difference. Lukaku has got 4 goals to his name. And as the post-match interview with him revealed, or those who are perhaps a bit keener on the stats, he's the first player to score 2 or more goals in consecutive World Cup appearances since Maradona in 1986.
Wow.
I thought that was quite
very nice. And Robbie Martinez, little Bob, he's talking about resting players against England. Mm. So, I mean, and that's a delicate balance for them to strike, because, of course, you want your players fresh, and he was able to take off Lukaku and Hazard against Tunisia anyway, so they've only played for whatever it was, an hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You've got to find that balance between keeping your players fresh but also maintaining some momentum. Mm. If they rest players and they lose to England, maybe comprehensively, 2-0, 3-1 or something like that, it's terrible for their confidence. Mm. Terrible for their position in the group. So he obviously is very confident that they've got enough players going forward to win that game against England anyway. But, and I know this is going to sound fanciful because I've embarrassed myself saying Belgium might struggle against Tunisia, and they haven't, but they can be got at, Belgium. I mean, at the back, they can definitely be got
at. Yeah. I think that the chat that Zabaleta and Drogba had was quite revealing with regards to resting players, because Zabaleta was saying, don't rest players, take all the momentum you can into the last 16. And Drogba was saying, yeah, but you'd be knackered. And you can understand either way, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. Yeah. Because if England and Belgium say don't rest players, say Belgium, they didn't rest players and they beat England, and in the next round they look a bit leggy. People say, we should have rested players, you were already through. But as you say, Luke, if they rest players and they perhaps don't get the result they want, they find it harder to pick
the thing is
up.
These players, and I know it's a long season with the World Cup tacked on the end, but these players at the top level are used to playing 2-3-ish times a week.
In that heat though, for some of the sides,
yeah, well, some of them are. I mean, you're playing the Spanish league, you are, a lot of them will be playing a lot of games, put it that way. And if you look at the World Cup scheduling, what will they play? So they played yesterday, Belgium. If they win their group, let me just check the thing. They'll play Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, which is Thursday against England.
Yeah. So yeah, okay. So yeah, it's a game every 4 or 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
So you wonder whether they're so good in terms of their recovery and stuff now that and you have to remember again to make it clear again, Hazard and Lukaku only played an hour yesterday against a team at the back who weren't up to much.
Yeah, true.
They sort of had a bit of a walk in the park against them.
The thing is though, the margins are very very fine at World Cup, aren't they? So any perceived advantage you can get, and Martinez might be of the opinion that it is more of an advantage to rest them, then you're going to pounce on that opportunity, aren't you? I mean, it's going to be interesting to see who he puts out against England, because I wonder...
Playing Lukaku at centre-back.
Yeah, but I wonder how good that is for England if they play a weakened Belgium team, because if it's in the situation where England and Belgium have both qualified already, then you actually want a bit of a stern test. You want to see how you deal with a Lukaku, how you try and keep Kevin De Bruyne quiet, that sort of thing. You don't necessarily want a kind of, bit of a sort of dead rubber where you don't really learn anything.
And De Bruyne will definitely play, though. I don't think there's any.
Well, look at when Batshuayi came on, he could have had a hat trick. So they do have quality, but I understand the point you're making. In the game itself, Belgium 5, Tunisia 2. It was a wonderful thing to see Kasri score and then get the ball back.
93rd minute, we're 5-2 down. Get what you're waiting for.
Yeah,
love come it. On.
Do you know what I was really?
Ref, yes, please, 30 seconds.
I was pleased for him. You see his little face. He enjoyed scoring, getting a World Cup goal.
Yeah,
because he's really.
He should have just celebrated though. He should have just taken the moment to celebrate and enjoy the
dive
goal.
Into the crowd.
Yeah,
shirt off.
He's been their best player. That's what you were about to say, right?
Yeah, he's you know one of their sort of more brighter sparks, isn't he? But there we are. But you know, Tunisia, they had 6 shots against England and they had 16 against Belgium, which shows you that they were always going to leave gaps open at the back, and Belgium very much exploited them.
I think Belgium need a test more than England do, purely because I think England are quite aware of their own limitations, whereas I think Belgium look a lot more top heavy. But Belgium are 7-1 third favourites for the tournament now, so £10 with Bet365 returns £80 including stakes should they do it. I think they're joint third favourites actually.
Do you know what it's interesting, 7-1. If Germany had have sort of gone out or drawn, and with Brazil not through yet and Argentina on the ropes as well, you do think, you look at those kind of you've got the sort of top four sides, you know, France not quite firing yet, and then you've got the next level down, which is sort of like a Belgium or maybe Uruguay, perhaps Portugal, European champions, can't write them off. And you do think, hang on, and it blows the tournament open. Yeah. But then Germany do that and people just sit and slump back into their seats and go, here we go
again.
I think you want a balance in a tournament like this.
Of course you do.
You want a balance where you have enough sort of big traditional so-called big teams knocked out to make it interesting and make it a little less boring, but you don't want so many knocked out that whoever wins it is a bit of a crapshoot. Like, you know, oh God, well, you know, the semi-final lineup was, you know, South Korea, yep. Mexico, and, you know, I don't know, like Poland and Japan. I mean, I've got no problem with any of those teams, but it wouldn't feel as legitimate, do you know what I mean?
But it never is in a World Cup.
I don't know. I think if it actually panned out like that, the excitement of there being a guaranteed new winner would be massive.
It would, but what I mean is, I suppose that's definitely correct. But on a player level, you're not seeing hardly any of the world's best players.
Yeah.
And that's a shame, I think, for a big showpiece tournament that only happens every 4 years.
Well, of course, the world's best player Cristiano Ronaldo wouldn't agree with that statement. Could be going home early, Messi, of course. But let's have an update from Argentina. Apparently, the players have gone to Jorge Burruchaga, the AFA general manager, to complain about Sampaoli.
Are we giving the Argentina camp that keeps on giving award?
I think so,
yes.
Well, reports suggest Burruchaga has said the players can pick the team for the Nigeria match.
what could go wrong?
We suspected that may be happening anyway. And you just sort of think to yourself, well, if you're doing that, then is there any reason for Sampaoli to still be there? Because it's not like he's a great motivator. Honestly, it's got to the point now, if this is true. And let me finish, actually, what I was going to say, because former Argentina player Ricardo Augusti, reckons he spoke to Burruchaga about all this and said, the players will decide the team. That's a fact. If Sampaoli wants to sit in the bench, he can do it. If not, no problem. We are literally at the place now, if that is true, where they would be better having an intoxicated Diego Maradona on the bench than Sampaoli, because Maradona would probably provide a bit of inspiration.
They would look to Maradona and because he's such a legend.
Exactly.
In the country,
and they'd be like, wow, let's do it for Diego and the country and all the rest of it.
Just not working.
If the players are picking the team, and if that's the case, Sampaoli, just why would he still be there?
I wonder which players it will be that will be picking the team.
Well, Messi and
Dybala,
Mascherano.
Maybe probably Dybala.
What do you reckon?
Well, it's not going to be Caballero, is it?
I'd love it if they had like an anonymous vote to pick the team each player, and it came out that Messi wasn't in the starting 11.
But this is one of the things that you get at the World Cup. You know, France have done it, the Dutch have done it as well. Like, you get a team that implodes. We all thought that was going to be Spain, didn't we?
Yeah.
We all thought on the first day it's going to be Spain that are the ones that fall apart and fight amongst themselves. But no,
Rio Ferdinand spoke quite eloquently about this, saying that, you know, when you're in that environment where you're all in sort of close proximity to each other for such a long time, it can go either way. You can almost become like brothers and you get so close, which I think, if the PR-led spin is to be believed, that's what's happening with England. Or it can go the other way, where every sort of perceived slight or problem or issue is magnified by 1,000 times. And that feels like what's happening with Argentina, of course. If you don't get the results as well, that makes it even worse. And that's also what's happening with Argentina. So there's always a high-profile casualty at a World Cup, at least one anyway. And it looks almost certain to be Argentina this time around.
Yeah,
but it could still be Germany. And let's not forget that.
Go on, Sam.
Yeah, let's not forget that.
Let's look at today's fixtures. England versus Panama, of course. England can book their place in the last 16.
And we'll cover that game extensively when we're back tomorrow, because there's probably no point doing that.
Very much so.
How are you feeling about it, though? I am a little bit nervous.
Again, I'm going to refer to what Luke said. I'm not going to start saying, yeah, I'm feeling good. And by the time people listen to this, we've drawn one all.
We have got our best bet, which is for England to win both halves. Our best bet with Bet365, so keep an eye out for that.
Mm-hmm.
But tomorrow we'll cover the game in detail because we'll be back again tomorrow.
Yes,
it's
indeed.
Never ending, is it?
Indeed. Japan versus Senegal. Win for either side would be a huge step towards the last 16. And enjoying Senegal, we saw
I was impressed by them.
And did you like their training?
Yeah,
I mean, it's one of those things that if you don't enjoy that, then you have a bin for a heart.
Absolutely.
Quite in the frankly. Words of the great Gigi Buffon.
Who sadly not with us at this World Cup. No. Let me quickly add that last bit to the sentence. Poland versus Colombia. Both sides need a win. Poland were very angry with their performance versus Senegal. Colombia, you would think, would begin to fire with James and Falcao and so on in
it's
there.
It's an intriguing match, that, because they've probably... You could argue they're the two most disappointing displays so far from teams in terms of what's expected from them. Colombia's is obviously due to circumstances because of Carlos Sanchez being sent off.
Yes.
So we can't really see the best of them when they're playing for 10 men with effectively a whole game. And Poland, just we surely they have better than that. And they both have to wake up. So this could be a really good game.
I think it will be. And I think Poland are going to be a difficult. They're going to find it difficult. They're a victim of circumstances here. Colombia will almost be resetting themselves, saying, right, our tournament starts now. Mm-hmm. Got to win these next two games. And Poland might feel the brunt of that. I think I thought tactically against Senegal they were very, very poor. They didn't use their biggest asset in any way, shape or form, and they've got to put that right for this game. But having said that, we have seen quite a lot personnel and tactical changes between the first and the second game already in this tournament, so we might see that from Poland again as well.
Quite possibly. Our best bet, of course, today, from yesterday, which comes into play today, is England against Panama. But Luke, what is our best bet with Bet365 today?
Well, I quite fancied this one. I said I'd be sprinkling them in throughout the tournament, which obviously I've been doing. This caught my eye. Spain v Morocco. I thought I might go for Diego Costa to score first for Spain against Morocco at 7-2. £50 returns £225 including stakes. Should he do it? You must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. All proceeds go to Prostate Cancer UK, and for more information on all this, go to begamblerware.org. That's our best bet at Bet365. Another one in the can. Diego Costa to score first for Spain against Morocco in the final group game.
Lovely. And we'd like Morocco to at least get a goal to see a smile on Hervé Renard's beautiful face.
Well, we definitely would like Diego Costa to score first to get ourselves...
Yeah, we don't want Morocco to score first.
No way.
But we'd like to score for them to score after Costa gets that.
They can score as many times as I like after.
Exactly. All right, lads, let's get out of here and go and watch England. Thank you very much for listening to the World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365, everybody. It's been a pleasure. We will be back tomorrow, of course, talking about England, hopefully with all smiles and songs and whatnot and so on.
All smiles and songs and whatnot. That's what we're all about on this show.
It's the World Cup. It's the World Cup. It's the World Cup.
Yeah.
Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jim Campbell.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me and goodbye from London.
Goodbye from London! London, goodbye. That clip of Pete's funny, isn't it?
Bungee jumping for the first time ever. Doing it for the kids.
Doing it for the kids.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.